Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
songs
one of the most listened to songs in the world. And looks like this week over here, we're going to go down in the deep freeze. So trying to get ready for that. Freezing anyway to a normal person out there in California or Miami or something, you know. It's, you know, this is already cold, but this week we'll be going into a deep freeze. Just wanted to remind people, from what I understand, February 27th, that looks like next week, next Sunday, we're going to have the memorial, Wounded Knee Memorial Liberation Day memorial and walk there in Wounded Knee. So you might want to check out on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, some of these AIM profiles. Maybe they have information on it. I've seen a couple AIM profiles. I didn't see nothing on them, but they should be putting them on there. And the other side of all that is we're still here, and prayers and blessings to all of those out there with their health. I know we're always worrying about trying to maintain good health and everything, so like to urge you to stay as healthy as you can. And what else is going on? Anyway, I always try to tell people, you know, I see big squabbles on Facebook where people say, do your research, you know, do your research. I always laugh because what they're doing is, to them, research is Google something or read a history book that a white man wrote, you know. Even these biographies of Native Americans that you read in books, Black Elk, Crazy Horse, all of them, there's a white man doing it. A white man's the one with the toys to print, the toys to make books, publish, and all that, you know. So when look at the Bible, for instance, you know, big black book with a million pages on it. White man makes that. They type what they want. They always curve something that you say and change it to something else. And then, of course, the English language doesn't do justice to other languages if you try to, you know, interpret or translate into English. So it's really difficult, you know, especially like, you know, talking about Black Elk and different people that they wrote books about, you know, you're reading the English translation, but English doesn't always translate everything right. So, you know, just a couple words here, but let me get on and put Toshi on here and see, you know, so he can, as soon as he fixes his tie and clears his throat, all the stuff he's got to do, you know. Toshi, go ahead and take over right now. I hope you got your tie right. I figure.
Yeah, I got my, I'm combing my hair right now.
Yeah. you're using a pick.
But anyway, I'm going to say a prayer and then we'll get started. Hopefully we have a good night. Well, on peut on le chel hello hino je pon kon kon kasla on si la chon ni chila na ha he we on kaso ni cha hino je kon e u shu ki la po yo la kon kasla ni la cha u shi ka he on cha ni mo ko che la ko si no te ni we pon kon kon kasla e li la ta ku shi cha o ta le ni on kon 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 kasla ta ko ta la gun shi ala na ka ta tu ki e kon kasla wa kon la na wa kan ja la de Estamos no dia de check ya na truca shla. We chose on you a glitch check. Tu akik umla seche nis. Wo ka ki jabla seche. Ni yo hila truca shla. U shi chala na yu ha on ya ka truca shla. Na lechta tu gale mongla kapton ku ki ya ste po truca shla. Un wa ste shtin ta wa ste glina. A glitch mi opia a hoy ki cha po truca shla. Yo hila truca ik chao yu cha shon. U shi kapchon ke we chose on the Chichi Lapelo Lech died to Kukash, Unshuki Lapo, how me takias.
Oh, the takias.
I know Martin Luther King Day has passed by, so I guess you can get rid of that pick and take down that big afro you was wearing. Sky high afro.
Yeah, the tie dye.
Yeah. Sitting there with that afro way up there.
Putting that pick through there,
like,
flopping it up.
Like Don King.
Jeez.
Like, you know, there, that sucker is
like
way
the,
up there.
Look like the old Jackson. Look like the old Jackson, didn't it?
Yeah. Got that. Afro way up there and still wearing that Hawaiian Lee or whatever you call it around the neck when he was in Hawaii. Said he'd take it off.
The old pigeon, right on, still around his neck.
I ain't gonna tell you what I'm wearing. What I got on, you know. Exactly. when they call me a skin, they ain't lying. Nothing but skin here.
Yeah. No, you're talking
yeah.
about some of that country of how these Washichus interpret these things, you know.
Yeah.
When we try to correct people on the history, because they read it in that Washichu's book, they want to argue with you. They want to be right. Every Washita wants to be the savior. You know, they want to be the savior. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, they don't listen to what we're trying to tell them. You know, and oh, in this book it said this. In this book it said that. Like I was telling you, Black Elk Speaks is one of the biggest sellers. It's up to this day. It's outselling the Bible, and that's why the publishing company didn't want to let the guy that told the story redo it and put everything in it that he sees. They shot him down in court. They said the publishing company owns the book, and because he got paid for it. So it's things like that he was trying to straighten out history, but because of the way it was generating Mozaska, they refused it, you know? That's how the Washichus operate. It's all Mozaska. Look at this earth and what they're doing to it. The water, all this stuff. You know, and that's why last time I was talking about, there's these people trying to protect the rice paddies, protect the water, Standing Rock. And there's all these guys that are blocking traffic up in Canada. Where's the military? Where's all these people that, you know, went against the Indian? Where's all these people that are going to depend on that water? You know, what happened? You know, what happened to the water? There's these truckers, you know, and they're not doing nothing. Over what? Over wearing a mask, you know, or not getting a shot? That's why they're doing that? What's more important, that or water for the future? That's the problem with these washichus. Shallow-minded. Like you say, they're an invasive species with no mind. That Nuri is not there for them, see? They killed their medicine, man. So now they don't have that. And we're stuck with it. Look at what they did. Look at what they did to that that kid in that mall. The Washitu started the fight. A big boy, big white boy.
Yeah, I see that.
The black boy. Yeah, black boy defended himself because they were bullying. He was bullying him. Then the cops came. Then that lady police officer. What'd she do? She acted like the guy's mother. Sat him on the couch. Ran over and knelt on that black boy's back.
Yeah.
You know? And then the white boy was standing there talking shit, you know? And he's the one that started everything. But yet they believe the Washitu, not the person of color. It's always been like that. And me and you talked about that before. The enemy.
Yeah.
Then the cops wonder why we hate them, you know? That's something, you know, you think they'd figure it out by now. Their attitudes, once they put on that badge, they act like God, you know? And every one of them act like that, even if they're black or yellow. Look at that guy that they put on the stand, that Chauvin, you know, that Oriental dude. He was trying to pull a gun on that girl.
Yeah.
You know, what is his defense, you know? Or I'm a new guy, so this guy should know better.
He's saying his back was turned, keeping the crowd off so he didn't see what was going on behind him. You know, that's what he's trying to say right now. They put him on the stand this week in federal court. They're charging him federal crimes. And he's saying, I didn't see what was going on. I was watching the crowd, you know. He said, I just trusted that they were doing the right thing back there. You know, he knew what was going on. You know, he was going to pull a gun when they stepped forward, you know.
A little girl.
You know.
The one recording. She's trying to tell him, get off. She stepped forward. The guy grabbed his gun. I told her, you want some of this too?
You know, that. Mm-hmm. And you know, what gets me is he's an Asian guy, you know. He's a person of color. And one of those other cops was a black guy. You know what he said? He said, I didn't want to lose my job. He came right out with it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he said, I didn't want to lose my job, you know? And and now they're out there. Those other three cops are trying to act innocent. But you know what? They were all in on it, you know?
Yeah.
And the Oriental cop was the one that was with Chauvin when they drove up. And he said they didn't even need to be there. He said they didn't have to go there, but Chauvin went there showed up, you know. They already had it covered, but Chauvin wanted to go over and get in on it, you know. And anyway... Chauvin, he's a goner now. Plus, he even pled guilty in federal court, so he's done. You know, when you go to federal prison, there's no way out of there, you know. He could have appealed his state conviction, but, you know, them feds, if they get you, it's hard to get out of it, you know.
Yeah.
So he's in trouble. But that lady cop that killed that Deontay Wright or whatever his name was, she said she had a stun gun. They only gave her 2 months. I mean, 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
You know?
Yeah.
And the judge was pitying her, saying, this is tragic. She did, you know? They said the judge was even crying on the stand up there on her for that cop, you know? You know, trying to put real pity on that woman, you know. But that woman didn't have, and they said that she was trying to protect the other cop. When you watch that video, She didn't even care those other cops were right there. She fired that gun while that other cop was on the other side. She could have shot him. She could have shot the passenger. And the black cop had his whole head in the car. She shot so close to his face, the casings, one of the casings hit him in the face. And you know how fast them black guys are. He is a black cop. So in a split second, he was at the trunk of that cop car. He was way back there. You know.
Did he was pretty bad, you know?
Yeah. And you know, but that's how they get away with that stuff. That's why, you know, and these people of color, when they run with these Washichu and work with them and live with them, they act like that. And I noticed that even here when, you know, you go on social media on Facebook, like right now, Russia has all kinds of troops on the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't want the Ukraine to get into NATO. Because what the Americans did was made all the countries around Russia, got them into NATO, and that gives them the authority to put nukes over there and aim to Russia. Well, it took Russia some time to decide, we got to stop this. So now, because Ukraine was Russia, so now Russia said, no, we don't want Ukraine in NATO, you know, because they know what they're going to do. Well, so that's going on over there. It has nothing to do with us, right? But there's Indians on Facebook commenting, and one of them even said, Biden's our guy and Putin's their guy. Saying, here's an Indian saying, Biden's our guy. You know, like we need to support Biden, you know, and, you know, like they forget that those Biden is a illegal invasive species. He don't even belong here. They don't even belong over here. There's no such thing as an American. What are they doing over here on our land? But an Indian forgets all that crap. And they're right away. They're saying, they're putting down Russia, and they're saying Russia's being bullies over there, going to invade the Ukraine, when that ain't even the case. The case is the U.S. wants to put Ukraine into NATO because they want Ukraine's minerals, uranium, and everything else, and they want the rights to put them missiles right there facing Russia, to threaten Russia. And you know what?
Yep.
If anybody knew what it was like in the Ukraine and Russia before, they speak the same language. Their only difference, it's like Lakota and Dakota. The dialect is different. But they're the same people. And Ukraine is full of Russians that aren't even Ukrainian. That country, Crimea, was Russians, you know, and they're the ones wanted to get back into Russia. So, but Indians on Facebook, they see this, and right away they're siding in with these Washichu, forgetting Wounded Knee. Yeah. They're forgetting Sand Creek. They're forgetting the longest walk, marching Indians across the country, stealing land. They're forgetting all these massacres they did. They're, you know, it's like, or they didn't forget it. They just say, how is it? You know, just that quick, I'm American now. I'm on the winning side because, you know, they're turncoats. They're turncoats. They want to be on the winning side, you know. And anybody that ever went to the Ukraine and that ever went to Russia and witnessed and experienced the life over there. Well, know that. That's all a bunch of bullshit what they're saying, you know? Because you know what? There's a lot of the rush, what the Americans do before they invade a country is they, CIA and all them, go in there and start feeding their propaganda, turning people on to drugs, you know, that and drugs and money, you know, to make them nauseous of each other. You know what I mean? Like they did to our people. And like they did to in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Americans go in and divide the people. They divide relatives. Ukraine and Russia, they're relatives. I mean, they're relatives. Like I said, they're just like us in Yankton, you know? Same thing. You know, we're relatives. Just with a different dialect. But they did that. They did that in Iraq. They did that in South America. They go down there, and what they do is start feeding the people, the young people, usually like the way they took over Gaddafi's country and all that. They get these young college people and youngsters and start giving them drugs, getting them high, giving them money, giving them cell phones, giving them things, you know, and making them think how great it is over here. So right away, they say, yeah, I want to be American. And the biggest thing I noticed in Ukraine, when the Americans, when they started turning into American, them Ukrainians, they started getting stupid haircuts. They started getting stupid haircuts. Some of them had mohawks, you know, and they painted them lime green, you know, orange, and tattoos. They want to be punk rockers. And they, you know, they want to be like Americans. And same way, the music movement, that's another way to get them. So, like I was over there performing in this band. Band, they want to be like Americans. So they go on, before they go on stage, they get high because they want to be like Jimi Hendrix and Santana and all these people, and they want to go on stage high. They think that's the American thing, and they sound like shit, but you can't tell them that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what, that's the way the Americans conquer different countries. The first thing they do is feed them countries drugs, you know, all the good drugs. They give it to them. They get them high. They get the young college kids high and start getting them to start dress like Americans. I remember in Germany, you had East Berlin and West Berlin. And West Berlin, the people dress like Americans, Levi's, the women, Levi's, all kinds of, you know, fancy clothes, you know, American style, walking around looking like Americans. But East Berlin side, they were still wearing their kind of clothes, you know, which was cultural to them. It's like it's a difference like the way it was with the Mexicans from south of the border. You could always spot the Mexicans from south of the border when they came over here because the Mexicans from this side of the border always looked sharp, ironing pants, looking clean, badass shoes, shirts, nice cars. And a Mexican from below the border come over here wearing wearing red pants or something, you know, because cultural people aren't into trying to life like us. Look how we dress on the rest. We're just, you know, like kind of raggedy, you know. But when you see an Indian trying to get into style, you know, like the Americans, like some of these guys trying to wear tight jeans and white socks, brand new white shoes, you know, nice
Herman
tight.
Munster.
Yeah, Herman Munster, you know, and you know, and Indians look funny. Yeah. Indians look funny when they start dressing like that, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of things don't fit us, you know. They don't look right on us, you know. That's why you need to take that damn tie off right now.
I'm still working on that. Don't go there, bro. I'm still working. I still got the bow tie.
Yeah.
They didn't promote me. Country didn't promote me yet. So,
she still got the bow tie.
My brother's got a fancy shirt on. He left the top buttons open so he could, you know, so they can flash a hairy chest, but ain't got nothing there but scars. You know? No hair at all. But got that shirt wide open, you know.
Looks like a turtleneck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wrinkly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wrinkly and brown, you know. Brown and scarred up, you know. Even with the old broken bones still showing through.
You know,
a broken collarbone.
You know, when you look at the Washitu, that's how they are, though, country. Like, in our case, they used alcohol, you know? And these forts, they kind of influenced a lot of these Indians to start drinking alcohol, you know? And then that's how it spread. Then they outlawed it. We don't sell the, you know, they make them, they do something, then they make them want it, see? Even more.
Yeah.
So they could sell it. See, that's like you were saying, the
drugs.
That's
how they divided us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how they kept the ones around the fort. The ones that were around the fort was because alcohol was there. You know?
Yeah.
It's like.
Yep.
And the ones that weren't into that were out there riding far away from alcohol, you know? Crazy Horse and them, they weren't out there drinking. They weren't out there boozing. They were away from all that, you know? And they didn't like it. That's why they call it fire water, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't want to mess with it, you know?
Miniwakanshita, you know?
Yeah. Miniwakanshita. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they called it.
Yeah, and you know, that's what the Americans doing around the world. That's how they conquer them countries. They go get the young people. Like before they took over Gaddafi, all the people in Libya were living good. But Clinton and them, Hillary Clinton and all of them, they didn't like that. So they started getting these young college people riled up, get them high, drunk, doing things, making them, causing them to be radicals and criminals and going to jail. When they go to jail, then they don't like it. So pretty soon they got worse, and they call it protests. And they started being protesters. And here in America, they were saying they're protesting the government. But they weren't protesting the government of Libya. They were just protesting to protest. They weren't like us.
Yeah.
We're worried because they're putting oil in our water, destroying our environment. But they weren't protesting for nothing.
They wanted the party.
The Americans were saying, oh, they're protesting this dictatorship. They call Gaddafi a dictator. When Gaddafi was given free medical, paying people to go to school. If you got married, he would pay you. If you got married, he would pay you. He would pay you for having children. when your children got a certain age, he would pay them to go to whatever school in the world they wanted to go to, you know? And, but you see, the Americans don't want to see that kind of freedom on a society, because to them, they can't control a freedom like that, because a freedom like that is loyal to themselves, like us, like me and you. We're loyal to our people, you know. We're not loyal to them and their Cadillacs and all that stuff, you know. We come first, our family, the Oyate, we come first. And there's only a few of us left like that. You know what I mean?
There is. Yeah, there is. I mean, it's a dying breed now, Tanashi, you know, and that's why I say it's kind of tough to see the future right now, you know. And we got to hang in there. That's the thing. Our kids, my kids at least, know what they're doing, you know. And to me, that makes me feel good.
Remember when we were small and young and we went with our families? We would go visiting. Yeah. We didn't run up to Rapid City to the mall or run to the baseball games. We went to go see Unchi or Tahanshi or, you know, we went and visit families. Yeah. I remember that when I was small, going visiting families and eating and playing with relatives, you know. You know, we never went, you know. Mm-hmm.
And when we went to town,
we didn't all go crying to go to restaurants or stuff like that. We just waited. When they came out of the store, they opened up them fresh raw kidneys, you know, and that was our treat, you know.
Yep.
The salt and the raw kidneys, you know, just sitting there, you know, and then coming back, you know, then come back home. But nowadays, look at these Indians can't stay home. If they get $20 in their pocket, they're going to spend it to go drive around and wrap it or go someplace, you know.
Yeah.
And or spend that $20. I mean, just like that stimulus money. I was proud to see a lot of Indians buying cars, you know.
I know a bunch of Indians
that spend their stimulus on getting drunk and getting high.
Yeah, yep.
You know,
a lot of these, you talk about these younger guys, if they got $20, they're looking for crack nowadays, you know. That's how it is, these housings. These young kids. Right away, when they get some money, they go looking for that high. See? And it's the strongest back home. But yet, I think I sent it to you, Tranchi, about Yellowbird Steel. Did you see that piece that guy wrote about Yellowbird Steel being Custer's grandson?
Oh, yeah.
Garfield, I sent that to you. But anyway, somebody finally put him on blast because it's the truth. You know, and you know, they're the ones that are dealing the drugs. They're the ones that are doing all these things, and they're protected by the council. See, and it's always been like this since I could remember. The bootleggers, back in the day, were protected by the tribal council. Now it's the drug dealers, bootleggers, and whoever else getting protected by the tribal council again. See, so you can't touch them.
Just like. Like they're telling me, some guys over there, they killed a girl in Kiza Park. They were high on meth, you know.
Yep.
And you know, I don't know the inside on that, but you see when we use white man's drugs. When we use white man's alcohol, white man's this and that, you know, then we start committing white man's crimes, you know. They're not Indian crimes. They're white man's crimes, you know.
Yep.
And You know, that's what happens to our people.
You act just like the Washitu when you start messing with their stuff, you know. And that's what's
happening. You see in the Washitu what they say when an Indian gets busted for like these ones for killing a young girl or a woman killing her kid right away. They say, see, Indians are like that. That's how they are, you know.
Yeah.
So, but we're not like that. It was that alcohol and that white man's poison that made us like that, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I was visiting this woman on the res, you know, and she had like 9 kids, bunch of kids in the house, and she had some teenage daughters.
Yeah.
And her daughters, they had cell phones. And there's about 3 of them. They were like teenage and up. They're all sitting there on Facebook on their phones.
Yeah.
And then they had the TV on and they were watching, one of them was watching, those music video movies, you know? And you could see, and I was pitying them, really pitying them because you know how these music videos are. They show really, really pretty women and pretty, you know, even the Hassapas and all this stuff they show in there. And this poor Indian girl watching it, she's all chepa and wearing raggedy clothes, but she's looking at it. And I know in her mind, I was staring at her and I said, man, she's probably really wishing, you know, that she could be like that. Like what she sees there. And those ones on Facebook, on the south, on their phones and all that, you know?
Yeah.
It's really bad for our people because we're not in an environment to be able to fulfill all those dreams and satisfying material things. So all you can do is sit on the res and wish, you know. It's like, you know, and if you're a kid and see that, you know, you say, damn. But the good thing about, like, when we were young, like me and my brother there and probably you when we lived on the res, we didn't see Cadillacs and dually pickups and crew cab pickups and all that. We didn't see none of that. You know, we seen people. I remember when we lived in L.A., when we lived in California, how we had the ugliest car in town, you know.
Res bomb in the city.
But, yeah. Remember that, Larry? We drove around. Remember, Pops had a 1954, you know? A black one. That's how we went to South Dakota and back and everything, you know? I remember when they let me go to a dance, a school dance. And when I came out of the dance with all my friends, all of a sudden I had to look out in the parking lot. There's Mom and Pops sitting there waiting for me in the ugliest car in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Mom's pregnant, bunch of kids in the car, and everybody else is getting in nice cars. But, shit, and they're sitting there right in the front row waiting for me, you know.
Yeah,
I wanted to act like I didn't see them, you know.
Hey,
but they're over there waving, right here, you know.
Hey, gentlemen.
Richard.
Yeah. Hey, there's your... And all my friends knew that was our car. So, hey, there's your mom and dad there. See? And everybody, so they're there waiting for you. You know? Everybody knew that. Remember when Pops had that gray 1952 station wagon?
Yeah.
Gray 1950. Yeah, gray 1952 Ford station wagon. You know, I mean, raggedy as hell. You know?
Yeah.
Tires so bald you can see the air in them, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying.
You know, but that was our life, you know? And
yeah.
And the good thing about it, you know, that kind of started changing our style a little bit, because I remember that's when Chubby Checker came out with the Twist. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
And he had them shoes, they call them Twisters, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right away, my brother Larry came home with a pair of Twisters on.
Jeez. In style.
Yeah, Larry came home with some Twisters. Yeah, he'd sit there every night. You find him in there. He wouldn't be doing nothing. He wouldn't be watching TV. He wouldn't be reading a book. He wouldn't be doing nothing, but he'd have his tongue sticking out while he's spit-shining them Twisters.
Yeah. Cleaner now.
Yeah. He spent 2 hours a night getting them shoes ready for the next day, you know?
And
we used to use starch back in them days, you know? Boy, he'd have his pants creased. I mean, you could
look
cut yourself,
reasonably.
You know? Yeah.
Reasonably.
See, my brother, when he walked out that door, he was sharper than a rat toid. No?
There you go, man. Hell yeah. Those were the good old days, man.
Yeah. Having a haircut, having a hairdo like Fabian and Elvis Presley. You know?
Yeah.
Greased down. You know?
The duck tail and the mud flap in the back. And...
Yeah.
That boots
in
the front. Heck yeah, man. It all combed up, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember we used to put military creases on our shirts up front and back, you know?
Yeah.
And really?
Yeah.
Yeah. One time Larry made me some bell bottoms, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I had to pin them together. Because Pops didn't want me dressed like a pachuco. So I had to pin them together. When I walked around the corner and got down by the street, I'd unpin them and they would flap out, you know, and then I'd strut.
Wow.
But you see the influence that society had on us. We were Indian kids from the res, and we started going that way, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm happy and proud that mom and them made us, you know, we kept our traditional values. We couldn't walk away from being an Indian, you know, from being a Lakota, because it was at the house. But you see, nowadays, that traditional value ain't at the house.
Yep, it's nowhere.
You know?
It's just a very few places that have it now. You know,
yeah, even on the res, you know.
Everywhere. I mean, it's sad, honestly. It is. You know, and then it kind of, you know, you look around, and a lot of these older people, they try to get to these kids, but these kids control the whole situation now, you know. And so they feel defeated. I think a lot of these old people, you know, feel defeated. So they start drinking and drugging. And so these kids are doing the same damn thing, you know. And that's, to me, you look at it and that's how it is. There's just maybe a family here and there that's hanging on, you know, hanging on to tradition, you know. And that's why I say it's when you look at the whole city, look at the whole reservation. Hopefully it'll gain more traction, more people, more of them start doing it. But even now, you see these people go to these Sun Lancers, and they say they're the Sun Lancer, but yet they hate on people, they gossip about people, they forget what they're doing. They want to be Washitu, see. And Washitu has a big influence. And look at all the hatred that these guys have You know, oh, our Sundance is better than yours. Our, you know, we do this better. I mean, it's not a competition thing. It's a pitiful way of praying, you know. People today kind of make it a competition thing. A lot of these guys claiming to be medicine and have following. Oh, I'm doing it right. Those people are doing it wrong. It creates dissension amongst us. And I see that everywhere on the reservation. You know, I go over here, I'm this, I'm that, you know. You don't ever hear me saying anything about what I do or, you know, because I'm an Ushika man, you know. And that's how I live, you know. I take up for my, like you were saying, take up for my people, my Tioshpaya, and you know, the Matroyat is only the Matroyat Tioshpaya is the only obligation I have. You know, those are my immediate relations, you know. Anybody else, you know, I don't worry about it. You know, that's how it is to be. Long ago, everybody took care of each other. Everybody helped each other. They protected each other. That's gone because of what's going on the reservation today. You know, look at what this CARES Act money did. You know, as a matter of fact, there's that steal that I was telling you about. He got busted for cocaine in Wyoming, you know, and yet he's still a councilman, you know.
Damn.
That's the stuff I'm talking about, Kanshi. You know, how could he be on a council when he got caught for poundage of cocaine in Wyoming, you know? And you know, it's just the way it is now. See, it's who protects who. And it's influence. Washitu influence everywhere. And the Washitu sit back, laugh about it, and they kind of protect that. See? Because that's, like you were saying, that's what controls our people. And they do that to the other countries you was talking about. Shit, it's still there on our reservation. Big time.
Yep.
It's not only ours, it's on yours, Cheyenne River. It's everywhere, see.
That's why you go to some Indian reservations. You go to some Indian reservations and everybody's dressed like a cowboy.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, dressed like a cowboy from toe to head, you know, dressed like a cowboy.
Yep.
You know? And
short hair.
And,
you know?
Yeah. You know, and chewing that tobacco and spitting it out, trying like a cowboy, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, all these influences the outside world has on our people, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of those habits are rotten, like spitting, you know, like when people spit. I used to get mad at Sundance. Some of them guys would be out there spitting on the ground, you know, and that's ground we're dancing on this Wakan, you know. I mean, you know.
That circle is Wakan, you know.
Yeah, and they're out there, you know. There's some things that, you know, I just see and I say, man, look at that, you know. Look at how this person's treating the Sundance. Look at how that, you know. Look at how they're acting, you know.
Yeah.
I remember I was standing there with when the women come in and here this guy went to shake this woman's hand. Remember when they come to, we shake hands or whatever, you know, this guy reached out to shake a woman's hand and she said, "Don't you effing touch me, you bastard."
Jesus Christ. Holy shit. Dang.
That jerked his hand back and looked around and everybody's looking at them, you know? And she just passed by, and I said, "Wow, man. You know, I mean, she hissed at him like she hissed at him like a snake, you know. And you know, maybe she didn't like it. I mean, there was people pass by, you know, maybe they don't think highly of you. They shake your hand and kind of don't want to look at you, but they still put on a little bit of a show, you know." But when you do stuff like that, you know,
See,
that's a cool.
You know, that's a place you don't carry that stuff in there. You leave it outside. You see what I'm saying? That's what they tell you. Remember, before you get started, leave everything outside.
Yeah.
Here, you're going to do this. See? And to have that attitude. See, and that's what I'm talking about, Tanshi. These people and the Washitu attitudes that they carry, you know. And it's sad. It's really sad how far we've come. Like you were saying,
you know,
our
these
mothers and our fathers, you know, think about how they treated when they met each other. They laughed, they hugged, they did all these things. You know what I mean? Some even cried because they were so happy. Where has all that gone, Tanshi? That's our mothers and them that did this.
You know, some guys from Canada came down, hung out at the house, and they went to Sundance, you know?
Yeah.
And they were really traditional Indians. Matter of fact, these were the ones that they wanted to have an AIM chapter, you know? And I think they should have. But anyway, they were down here, and we're at the store, and these young AIM guys got out the car, and a woman, a young, look, they were proud to be on the Lakota Rez. You know, they were really proud, and they were trying to show their appreciation. So here comes some Indian girl out carrying some bags from the store. So one of them young Canadian guys grabbed the car door to let the girl get in. And she said, I can do that myself, you goddamn perv. You know?
Jesus Christ.
Boy, you should have seen that poor Canadian Indian's face. He just looked all sad. And he went into the store and he came out. He came out still looking like a basset hound, you know. His head slumped down. You know? She really hurt at him, you know. And he got in. I said, hey, you know, don't let that bother you. You were being a, you know.
Yeah.
You're being a good man, a traditional, that, you know, you're opening a door for a woman.
Yeah.
Just because she's an asshole, you ain't supposed to be the one feeling bad. You know? And I said, you know, but that's an example. You can't even help women nowadays. That's why women are walking down the road over here with kids. No one wants to pick them up. Because if you pick them up right away, they say, the perv. That perv, give me a ride, a perv, you know.
The bad mouth you.
You know, you don't want to, you don't want to give them rides, and they'll accuse you. They might ask you for some money, and if you say no, then they report your ass that you did something to them, you know. So you let them walk.
Yeah.
You let them walk, and it makes you feel bad because you say, man, that could be my sister or my mother or somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walking, you know, and you feel bad, but you don't want to gamble with that.
Yeah.
One time I picked up a woman walking way out in the boonies. So right away I called up my brother Larry and kept him on the phone as a witness.
You have
remember
to
that,
nowadays,
Larry?
You know, to protect yourself.
I kept Larry on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, I kept my brother on the phone till then I said, all right. And I told him, that's cool, got rid of her, you know. But I didn't know that was a woman. I thought it was a guy walking because, you know, Indian women, they dress like guys.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way,
when it got in, it was too late or I wouldn't have picked her up, you know. But that turned out all right. But just to be on the safe side, I had my brother on the phone.
Tanshi, when you think back, look at, you know, Sitting Bull, when they killed him up in North Dakota, they were trying to kill all his family members, all of them. So they had to hide him and bring him down the Lakota territory. So you think about where it started from, see? The Wonowizi, the jealousy. You know, his own nephew did that to him. And he's the one that said, if you don't kill all these people, you know, they're going to start an uprising. And it was just that one guy that started all. And a lot of these Standing Rock people agreed with it. So all those people turned against Sitting Bull's people. That's why Oglala had to go up there and bring them back. They hit them and brought them back. And they didn't know where those people were for years, you know, for years. But they're all there on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. All Sitting Bull's people live on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. None of them are up there in Standing Rock, you know. So just think of how it started, how these guys started. What they used was alcohol, you know. And that's what he was. He was a drunk. That Sitting Bull's nephew was a drunk, see. And that's what got him mad. He wanted to be a chief, but they refused it, see. So that's, he used alcohol. He used alcohol just about every day. So just think of how much control they even had back then. And that was kind of like the beginning, see. And look at us today. Now there's drugs and you name it on our reservations. And they're protected by people in leadership. And yet
the Washichus, that's why the DEA is there. That's why the FBI is there. That's why they got rights over us. Because they turned us into criminals.
Yep.
And they take advantage of that, you know?
Yep. Look at what's going on right now. That those Indians got that boarding school property back up there in Rapid City. Now there's a Washichuwina that's dealing it all away. A Washichu attorney. And the people have no say in what she's doing, see. How did that happen? How did that Washichuwina, that lawyer, get in there? And she represents the tribes. And why is she the only one dealing, see? And it's just... The Washichu is an evil person to me. See? No kind of compassion. She gets in there and now she's dealing parcels away. See?
Yep.
She's enriching in herself, see. She's not worried about the Lakota people or the people there.
What about that round building in Wounded Knee?
Yeah.
Now it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Right away.
That's the thing.
You know, because some greedy person had it and they're fighting over it and stuff, you know. And you know,
and they're still fighting over it.
And I remember they were over there, like the one guy, I won't say his name, but his wife was from another tribe and he was over here and she was in politics. She wasn't a Democrat. She was a different person, and she was really promoting her party over here on the rest to people, you know. And you know, I was thinking about that, how other Indians come over, just like some Indian woman got on my case on Facebook and said I was a rotten excuse for an Indian because I'm, you know, because I didn't agree with voting, you know. She said our people have to vote, you know.
Yeah.
And
you
know, and I did research on her. She's married to a white guy. She's got white kids, but she plays this Indian role on Facebook, and she's got all these followers. And you know, I heard this one guy who just recently passed away who was telling her, I got nothing but mad respect for you, you know, telling her that, you know, making her feel good, you know. And I said, you know, I said, you know, why do you even say that? Or why, you know, if I show support for a person that's leading our people in a wrong way, then I'm just like them. You know, I'm like, you know, I like what you do with your family. You know, you go look at you and your wife, your house is Native, Indian house, Lakota house, you know?
Yeah.
So your kids walk out that door, they're Lakotas, you know? It doesn't, you know, that's the kind of influence that I like to see and to spread for our people, You know, that's why even like right now, to bring that to people's attention right now, this minute, you know, that's what we need. We need to have this kind of influence on our own people, because, you know, if we don't do that, you know, we're as good as gone. And,
that's what I was saying, Tranchi, about, you know, I teach my kids, you know, all these other ones, they say this and that, but you can't control that, you know. It's all these people that you know, like I say, if you raise your kids with respect and you teach them right, they'll handle it, you know. I mean, they'll get there, you know. You just got to lead. But yet, look at all these people that don't do that. And that's what I say. It starts from your home. You know, my kids have a lot of respect for their elders. A lot of respect, you know. And that's the thing. That's how I raised them, you know. And they love their
elders.
You
know what I got sitting?
They learn from them, you know.
What I got sitting around me is beads. I got beads, you know. I got pipe bag.
Yeah.
I have feathers, my drum. Back there, they're making a jingle dress outfit, you know. For my baby girl, you know. That's what's going on over here. You know, they're not back there trying to, you know. Made some moccasins, you know. I mean, you know, things like that, you know.
Keeping it
that way, you know. But you go someplace else, and they're not into that, you know. Somebody's over there sewing up a mini skirt right now, you know. You know,
or fixing their hair in a different way, you know, paint it pink, you know, or gray or green, you know.
Some of those
fake eyelashes. Trying to make themselves look like a Washita wheel, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not cool, see? That's the thing, Crunchy. And then you got these guys that, you know, they're not gay, they're not Winstead, but yet they pretend to be, you know?
Yeah, because that's a fad.
That's not cool.
That's another fad, American fad that's going on. And that, you know what? When I was in Russia, they didn't like that.
Yeah.
They didn't like to see this gay people. I mean, they wanted to keep their people from turning gay. So they weren't promoting that. But the Americans were getting mad at Putin and all them, saying they hate gays. Any man doesn't want to see his boy growing up that way.
I mean,
any man. You know?
If they
turn that way, what are you going to do? You know, first you're going to try to hide it for a while and hope that you ain't seeing what you're seeing or whatever. But no man wants to see their kids going this way or that way, unless they're born this way.
Yeah, that's
if they're born that way, it's always another feeling you have for them. But if you got a little boy that's running around playing baseball, helping you work on the car, and all of a sudden comes home from school one day with shaking his little butt and stuff like that, you say, "Damn, what's going on here?"
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and because he got influenced, because he sees his other schoolmates, he starts running with the wrong crowd, you know. And you're going to be shocked, and you're going to tell him, you're going to probably get on his ass and, you know, tell him what's, you know, you're not going to act right if suddenly you see that. Well, in Russia, they're still like that, you know, but now they're starting to change because the American influence. And the Ukraine already being that way, you know, transvestites and all that.
All this stuff. American influence.
You know,
Washington
so
influence.
The American influence is a bad one. You know, you look at what's that guy, Will Smith and his wife? I forget her name, but they have a son that goes to school wearing a dress.
Yeah.
He wears dresses.
Into an entanglement. That was her name, Mom.
And they say he's not gay. That's just what he wants to wear. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. How, man?
Yeah.
If I seen you with a dress on, brother, I'll say, man, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah. Take your bow tie off. You know, that's the thing. There's real ones, and there's these ones that want to be, see?
Yeah.
And some of them are made that way, see? There's a big difference.
Yeah.
The real ones, like I say, always don't want it. They don't want it.
Yeah.
But yet they're stuck there, see? It's all these ones that do have that decision to make. They all make the wrong decision. And that's the part of it that's no good, like you were just talking about. That boy wearing a dress to school every day. You know? That's what's wrong with that boy, you know? Who's going to correct him? Nobody corrects him. Oh, that's what he wants. See, they're letting these kids do what they want to do. They control it, not the grown-ups, see? That's the problem today. The grown-ups are taken out of it.
You know, me and my bro, my drummer and my rock band, he was always with me all the time, you know, wherever I went. One time we were going down to Florida. Matter of fact, we're going down to Layla and them, they had a gig down there, so we were going down there, and we cruised through St. Louis, and you go to East St. Louis, and he is looking out the window, you know, East St. Louis across the Missouri River, all these hassapas and all these pimps and all this stuff going on there, and he's looking over there. I said, man, you're looking like you want me to drop you off there. And he just looked at me, you know. I said, you know what? I said I could give you $50 and drop you off there. I said, and I could pick you up in a half an hour, and you'd be a changed man. Just if I leave you there for a half an hour. I said, you'll jump back in the car. You'd be high as a kite. Your eyes be watery. You'd be smiling, and your pants be on backwards, you know.
Oh, shit. God,
he, right away, he said, no, I wouldn't.
you just don't know that. He did. Oh, man. You know, and those are things that were, you know, I mean, think of these people. They got to really, really think about it. That's why these old people, they don't care to live anymore. Because their worth, their value is not valued by the younger generation anymore. So a lot of these older people, they don't care if they leave, you know. And that's kind of common nowadays. That's why we don't have very much old people on the reservation. Do you remember, Tunsi, growing up, how much old people used to be around us? There's a lot of gray hair, white hair around us, you know.
Yeah.
Grandmas and... I mean, all over, you know. Nowadays, where is that? It's gone, you know.
That's why it's like hard to be over here, because, you know, now I go down there to the store, or I go down there to the street now when I go into town. And you don't see old people over there, you know?
No, you don't.
And when I was young, there was always old people out there, you know? They'd stop and be visiting, speaking just pure Lakota, you know?
Yeah.
And visiting and all that. Nowadays, they don't do that. They're looking at each other dirty. When you pass one of them down the road, he don't look at you happy. He looks at you trying to. These Indians here are trying to have a tough face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're trying to.
They're trying to,
stink on you.
Yeah, they're trying to look like trying to strut like a city gangster or something right here in a town that's only like there's only like 400 or 500 people in this town.
Yeah.
And
they're trying to mean mug you nowadays, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I was telling one time I drove into Rosebud, but before I got to Rosebud, there's a house on the right side. And I passed by it, and all some young guys, they're all bandana down, and they're all looking at me really, really tough, you know? So, really tough. So I drove into town, and when I came back out of town, I knew I was going to pass by them again. So I rolled down the window and stuck my arm out, and I was trying to look cool when I passed by these young guys. And right when I passed by them, boom, bam. My hood opened up, cracked my windshield right in front of these young guys. You know, they must have been high on Peugeot because they was laughing. I had to get out all humiliated, you know, in front of them. I got out and I had to try to pull that hood down that was bent over the car, and I tied my belt onto the hood and got it down and tied it up and take off, you know. I said, that was shameful, you know. And then what's cool about that is I was stuck driving with that car looking like that, you know, for a while, you know.
No, yeah, that was a good one, man.
Yeah. Boy, I was looking cooler than now passing by them young guys with my arm hanging out the window. See, you know.
God damn.
Yeah, poor old guy, you know.
I could picture you going on the street, low riding, trying to crack cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's
day,
but... But these young guys, that's what they do. If you pass by, they try to look like, what are you doing in front of my house, you know?
And, yeah, they mean with you, you know. They kind of sit there and try to, you know. Then if you confront them, either really, Ushika, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it is. You know, long ago it wasn't like that, Hanshi, you know.
Nope.
It wasn't like that at all. We guys growing up. Look at all the people we played with, all our conscience, you know?
Yeah.
All the guys that, you know, and our mothers and our grandmothers made sure that we knew they were related to us, you know? And that's why I say that's gone.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the whole situation, conscience, it's all gone. You know?
Yeah.
Then people question, well, what is it, you know? All they got to do is back up a little bit and check it out, you know? And that's, look at Facebook now. You go on Facebook and you see people bad-mouthing each other or putting things out there they shouldn't even put on there, you know?
Yeah.
Why is that? Arguing. Somebody's better than you or somebody wants to be better than you, you know? I won't mention any names, but there's a guy that came after me because of what I said about the Lakotas, the Oglala Sioux tribe. And the treaties. We don't get no per cap. We don't get nothing. Because our Tunkashlas, they told them that any kind of monies they receive is going to count against the Black Hills settlement. That's why we never did go for that. And then they say we don't control. If it wasn't for us, they wouldn't have treaties. See, all these other tribes, they accepted all the stuff the government's given them. Per cap, all these payments. We never did get that. We never received nothing. And we're still hanging in there, see? And that's why the treaties are still there, is because we still, no sale. We always say, no sale. You know? We'll lease it, but we will not sell it. And that's the thing that all these other tribes don't realize that, but yet, we're entitled to the treaties. Go ahead and try to use one, you know? And that's why I say, when a guy uses a treaty in court, that's a self-win. That is not for the tribe, because we don't have no tribal representative in there, see? So it's a self-win.
Uh-huh.
It's for that guy. It's not for the rest of us, see? How many more people are going to get tickets for that same thing that he got? And he got released because he used the treaty. And all these other guys are going to pay for it. That's what the government looks at, see? So instead of the one guy bragging about, oh, I use this, I use that, think about what you're doing. You know, do it for the people, not yourself. See, that's how selfish we've become. And so to save us, a guy will use a treaty for himself. See, and that's why I say my uncle did that with electricity. He got free electricity until the day he died. And he never did tell the Oglala Sioux tribe what he did to get that, because they refused to represent him in court. He did it himself. And when they asked him, he told them to go to hell. See? But that's how it is today. That's all these people. Nobody represents us as a whole. That's why I say that woman, that Washichuwim, that's parceling all that land off up there in the Black Hills, in Rapid City. That's a boarding school. There's dead people. There's kids buried there that are Tunkashilas. Who's thinking about that? That Washichuwi ain't thinking about that. She's thinking about how she's going to enrich in herself. And all these Indians, they don't know nothing about it, you know? That's the stuff that's going on, that Washichuwi is going to benefit big time from that. And she's going to set herself up by using these Indians again. But nobody gets involved in there, see?
Yeah.
There's too many chiefs, Kanshi. Not enough warriors anymore, you know? And yet, when you try to do something, they all badmouth you. They all say something. They're all negative, you know? Look at the internet. That's why I say, look at Facebook. You know? They condemn you for something that you're trying to point out, you know? And those are things that, it's true. And that's why I say, not too long ago, because we played together, we worked together, we did things together when we was little kids. We knew who our relations were until boarding school ruined that. See? Now look at how we are, you know? Trying to be Washichu, and it's the worst thing we could ever do, you know? What happened to the Wolas Kota, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, all these Indian societies have lost it, you know, and I'm kind of proud that at least my sisters all lived in California. They all, you know, they still have Indian values, native Lakota values, bead work. They still bead and do stuff like that, you know. I mean, even my one sister that I would think that's the most Americanized, I was down there. I said, yeah, man, I'm trying to find a plume, you know. And there she went. She went in the back room and came out with a big bag, and she threw part of an eagle on the table. I'll go ahead and take what you want. I was really laughing at you, you know.
She was a city Indian.
even though she had a haircut like a school teacher and all that, you know, looking like a school teacher, she still had that. These Indian things about her, you know, had to, you know, and I appreciate that. Just like I took some deer down there one year, and right away she was all happy, fried it up, deer and onions, and potatoes, you know, and man, her kids were chowing down on it. And you try to do that to other kids, and I don't eat that, you know, they don't want to eat that stuff, you know,
That's the best thing in the world, man. That's how we grew up, you know, shit.
Yep.
sad, you know.
Yeah,
it's sad.
Good.
We're becoming a sad people, don't you?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And you know, like I appreciate what I call Lakota food, you know. That's what I want,
yeah,
all the time. I mean,
you know, not far.
Yeah. I can go over there and you know, if I went to town, there's McDonald's or all that. I don't eat it. Or like when I was locked up, I didn't miss all. What I missed was good, you know, some wahumpy, you know. I was thinking of all that, you know. I missed that kind of food, you know.
Yeah, the trash can too.
You know, like these Indians, they all got involved into the in this American Olympics, you know. And this young Russian girl, they're accusing her of taking some kind of drug. But, doping. She's only 15 years old. I watched a video of her ice skating, you know. I said, man, she's so perfect. She's doing up those three axles. I even learned that word, three axles, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And, I mean, she was badass, and they're attacking her for something that happened in December. This is that February, you know. And I don't care what kind of drug you take, it ain't going to help you skate the way she's skating. That was pure talent. But Americans right away started attacking her, you know?
Yeah.
Black people. Now I see Indians and Mexicans, they're all attacking the Russians because this girl, they're saying there, you know what? I don't care what anything. It's just like when you hit a home run, like they had Jerry Bonds and all them for drugs.
Yeah.
But no drug could make him hit that home run.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be have skill to hit that home run. You know, I mean, I know that I hit plenty home runs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hit thousands of home runs. You know, you know.
Oh,
but
huh.
Drugs, no drug is gonna make you do something better. Maybe if you're a boxer, they could say, well, it gives you endurance in the ring. But this girl is an ice skater. You know, she's floating around there.
Yeah.
And, man, they put the hurts to that girl, the American.
Yeah.
They had her crying. They had her so messed up. They were so naweezy and jealous of her. They attacked her so bad. She was leaving crying. Before they were attacking her, there's videos. You watch the videos of this girl on that ice, you know? I mean, she's doing everything perfect. And that ain't because of a drug, you know? And they said that she flunked a drug test in December. That's like failing a drug test when you're driving a car in December and them coming up in February and charging you for it. That's baloney. You know?
Yeah.
Check her now, not December, you know?
Yeah.
But the American, that's why I said I'm not even into them Olympics, because that's even controlled by the American Washichu, you know?
Well, Kunshi, when you think about it, Kunshi, look what they did to Jim Thorpe. Look what they did to these Indians that did, you know, the best Olympians of Earth, you know?
Look at Jim Plunkett.
Man.
Look at Jim Plunkett. That was a badass quarterback. They never put him in the Hall of Fame, you know?
Yeah. All because he was native, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And they say they're not racist, but why ain't Jim Plunkett? They didn't put him in the Hall of Fame. They're just not wheezy. They look for anything to screw with you if you're doing good. If you're an Indian are a person from a different culture, they will do anything to destroy that, you know?
Yeah.
Just because, and they'll make you look so bad that one of their stupid Americans can't even skate, gets a gold, you know?
Yeah.
Because everybody else looks so bad, even a drunk American can get a gold, you know?
You know?
And
look what
they talk about reputation. You know, these Americans, a pile of shit, has a cleaner reputation than them. You know,
Billy Miller.
Excuse me for using that word. You know,
look at Billy Miller too. You know? I mean, think about this, country. Look at how they treated these Native Americans, and then saying that, you know, they ain't representing us, you know, and yet they were the best athletes there were, and they proved it. But yet, Washitos couldn't handle it. So how many years did it take these Native Americans to get their medal, you know? And they never did publicly say we're sorry or admit that they were wrong. They did it just with the family members. You know, to me, that's Washito is an evil person, you know? And that's why I say they always want to be the savior. They always want to be the ones that, that's why they write these books, and they lied. They're big liars, you know? Ours is oral history.
It's bad, and it's a shame when our people get involved in the white man's propaganda against other cultures. When they're over there picking Joe Biden and them, you know, American over another country, over somebody else, or in the Olympics, or like, look at Muhammad Ali. The Americans took his title from him. He's a world title, but they took his world title for not fighting in the American military. Well, if it's a world title, how could you lose your world title if it's just American that you ain't, you know what I mean? Take your whole title from you, a world title from you, because you're a black man that don't want to go to Vietnam, you know? You see, everything they do is fake and phony. Even the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ain't even right. That's another racist thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they should have put me on there 30 years ago.
Larry should have been in there with Elvis.
I vote for you.
Yeah.
I would have voted for you, too.
Yeah. They're racist. That's why I never got in there. You know? But
the blacklist is like Kaepernick.
Yeah. And look at basketball. Look at basketball. We got Indians that can play the hell out of basketball. But they'll never put them in the NBA. You know? You know what I mean? Our people don't have a chance in nothing. But, I mean, it's still good to try, I guess, you know. I mean, but when I do something, I ain't doing it, you know, I ain't doing it to compete with somebody. I'm doing it for myself, you know. I don't do something. I don't try to perfect something so I can outdo some pecker with, you know what I mean? I'm doing it so it benefits me, you know, whether it's piano, guitar, or building a porch like I'm trying to do out here, all uneven and stuff, you know, but I'm still trying to do things for me, not to compete with nobody, you know, and that our people have talents. Our people are versatile. Indians are the most versatile people on earth. You know, we can do anything, you know. And there's nothing that we can't do. And when we do it pretty damn good. And but when we if we're there trying to compete with the American, the Washichu, it ain't going to work. You know, no sense in trying it. Because, you know, I look at it, I say, man, I wrote more songs than the Beatles, more songs than a lot of the rock groups out there, you know. But they're never, I never had a chance, and I don't care. I'm satisfied just for myself, you know. And anything that we do, you know, just like I know you, Toshi, you know. You're a hell of a man. Man, no one could compete with you on a strut, you know. You know.
You're strutting out something for me.
Oh, he decided to go out and strut, you know. He had his tie too tight, so he had to get some air, you know. He had to get some air. But, you know, like, I'm glad, while you hear Layla laughing, because I turned Philip and Layla a long time ago, you know, you hear, you can, you know, so usually I do that, but you can hear Layla laughing, you know, because, you know, it's kind of a comedy show sometimes we put on, unintentionally, you know, and it's good to have some humor in our life, you know. You know, things we do is, you know, you never know. It's just like it's winter time. We go running in there and after pooping and sit down on that toilet bowl real fast, and the seat ain't down, so boom, your butt splashes in the water, and your knees are all the way up to your cheeks, you know. And you say, what the hell happened here, you know? What the hell happened here, you know, sitting there with your knees on your cheeks and butt in that cold water, you know, because you didn't put the top down when you sat on it. You know, anything could happen to an Indian, you know. And life is just lots of fun sometimes, you know, in our own way. And it's good for us to keep that kind of happiness in our life all we can, you know, as much as we can, you know. And I think Indians do pretty good in that. Real Indians, you know, natives. When we get out there in the world and trying to be too serious, you know, and can't take a joke, you know what I mean? You know, it's just like, you know, Indians are always saying stuff wrong, you know, like Indian girl said, leave me alone. And the Indian guy got all mad, you know. He tried to touch his woman, and she said, leave me alone. And he jumped up and hollered at her and said, who the hell's leave alone? You know? You know, like I said, is going into a sweat lodge, going into a sweat, sitting there at the sweat, and this Washichu show bringing the rocks in. And you know, he don't know he's bringing in all the coals and stuff, you know, so they start hollering at him, said, the coals. And he said, what? He peeks and said, they said the coals, you know, because he's smoking everybody out, putting these rocks in, and they said, the coals. And he said, what? He said, take off the coals. So he got quiet, disappeared a little bit, and pretty soon there he's shoveling rocks in butt naked. He thought they said take off his clothes. Everybody, those Indian women in there just covered their eyes up, you know, because the fire's reflecting off his white butt and all that. Yeah, you know, we be hearing stuff wrong, you know, and this Indian woman was over there at the dance academy, hoop dance academy, and they had a woman over there helping clean up while they had meetings, and she had a jealous man. He's calling up every 5 minutes, making sure she ain't doing nothing, you know. You know, he's calling her up and even showing up, trying to hang out, but he ain't supposed to be around her. One day she gets done early, so they take her home, and Harry shows up to pick her up, and he walks in, asks where she's at, and they said, he took her back, you know, already took her back. And she said, she's taking a bath. Boy, that really hurt in his feelings. He's wondering what the hell she's taking a bath for, you know. all these men and stuff, you know. And, you know, but, yeah, some things are funny and we laugh about them. And we got some, I think Wakan Tonka keeps humor in our life. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's why we always hear things wrong or tease people, you know. And, you know, it's just funny. Like, just like we always tease each other, you know.
When you're too serious, there's always something bad happens.
Yeah. You know.
See,
yeah.
That's why, you know, have humor. To break
and we have it. And that's why I think that's why we always are saying stuff wrong, or we say stuff backwards, you know. Like I remember I called Buddy Red Bull, Reddy Bud Bull, when I was introducing him. You know? Man, he got mad, you know. I said, yeah, I want to introduce Reddy Bud Bull, you know. It's all bad. Call what's his name? Ramon Roadrunner.
<You know>? Roadrunner. Bear Runner.
Yeah. Call him Roadrunner. Yeah. You know, it is always twisting words by accident, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny when they do that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a natural thing, you know. There's always something funny comes out as what you're trying to do serious, you know. But it keeps why humor. Yeah, laughter kind of keeps everything in perspective, you know what I mean? And these guys
if you do that to a white guy, he just don't get it, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you ask a white guy, what was he doing? And he says, I was laying underneath the truck. And you say, laying underneath truck? You know? You know, that's funny to us. But you tell a white guy that, why he look all like what? Like, you want to kill you? There's no humor there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going down a hill, you know, because you're going to lose reception. You're going down on Bill.
Oh, man.
Bad Bill.
Yeah,
there's this, you know, the humor. Humor, it's always been a Lakota thing, you know. Like I can say, long ago, women and men talked separately. They did. Women didn't sit with men, and men didn't sit with women. They said the reason why men sat together and had these meetings and stuff, they said that, you know, the talk, sometimes it got crazy to break the tension in the air, you know.
Yeah.
They talk about, you know how men are constantly, that talk, they said calms everything down. And the women, the same thing, see. So the men didn't intermingle with the women. Nowadays, she says women and Sydney meets men, and, you know. And then, you know, I don't know. It's kind of, see, the way I look at it, it's not good no more, you know. So, like, if the men were to say something and there's a woman sitting in there, she'd get offended, you know, and vice versa, you know. So that's why they didn't do that long ago.
It's like being at the sweat in the night, you know, and we're all talking and jiving and teasing and everything, and all of a sudden a couple women show up and it's dark and you don't notice them come in, and they're over there sitting down on the other side, and here you're talking you know, like we do, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you hear one of them, "Ooh-hee."
or one of them
will say "yah." It's like, but see, our women are like that too. They think funny, you know. Like I was saying, yeah, I'm getting old, you know. I'm gray all over. And that Lakota chick said, "What, your legs?" I guess he had a visual of just some gray legs, you know. You know, "What, just your legs?" You know. And but when we're on our own, with our own people, we're always like this, saying stuff and laughing, and out there in that Washita world, you know, they're only laughing when they're killing somebody or something, you know, or you know, stuff like that, you know. If you look at those comedians, those Washita comedians, and listen to their dirty jokes, man. And what makes people laugh when they tell dirty jokes. You know, one guy was talking about screwing animals, you know. Man. "Don't screw a pig." He said, don't have sex with a pig because of this and that. And everybody's laughing. Ha, 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 ha. You know. I'm over there saying, "Damn, now that kind of humor there, that's way out of my territory, you know."
and
they're talking about all kinds of crazy stuff, these, and even racist jokes, you know. But when, like, our stuff, I think it's pretty innocent, you know. I not think so, yeah.
That's why a long time ago, the women and men didn't intermingle. You see what I'm saying? And because what the men talked about stayed there. What the women talked about stayed there. See? And nowadays...
And that's just like...
It's crazy nowadays.
And look at the words, how they switch the words around. I mean, it's like remember that time we were having a sweat, and remember Dick Kaloff? He was really Unchika, you know, Kuja and everything. And he was out there. So when we got in, Rick had him sit by the door. And everybody was sitting around. And here when the door guy was getting in, Rick said, "Be careful. Don't sit on Dick." he said, "Be careful, don't sit on Dick," because Dick Kaloff was sitting there and he's all sick and he just had open heart surgery and stuff. You know, "Be careful, don't sit on Dick," and all of a sudden the whole sweat lodge.
It wasn't even meant that way, but, you know, there was just humor in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he, you know, he's just telling the truth. Don't sit on Dick Koloff, you know? The door guy, of course, the door guy caught the end of the joke, and he was all looking pitiful, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, move your toe. That ain't my toe.
Move your ankle. Ankle to me.
Yeah. You know, just always teasing, huh?
There's always, you know, that's the thing. It breaks up the seriousness of it. You don't have to be that serious, you know? And that's and these kids or these people nowadays, that's what they try to do is be real serious about things, you know?
Yeah, they can't even take a joke.
Yeah, there's no humor in life anymore.
Yeah, they want to fight, you know? Can't even take a joke, you know? And but look at us at Sundance, sitting under that shade all thirsty and ready to die, but still joking, you know?
You know, teasing each other. Yeah, you could be on a 4-day staggering run, but you'll still be joking, you know? I mean, they're laughing around, you know?
Yeah.
And they're dried up, and eyes sink in.
Yeah.
Somebody stop me.
Yeah. There's still somebody out there doing something to make it. Like, remember when my brother ran back and threw his rope in the air and dove back, but he still had too much rope, so he just landed on the ground, you know?
The waves went back in.
Yeah. Man, you gotta make sure there's water in that pool before you dive in, you know? really dove and thought it's gonna break off, but there's too much rope, so he just landed on the ground, nothing, you know. The whole Sundance Arbor and everybody liked that one, you know. That was on the last day when he was doing his grand finale too, you know, when we were all hurt and tore up. So that was the grand finale to that was the grand finale to lift us up and take us to the end of Sundance, you know.
That's what it is, though. You know, that's Indian humor, Tanshi, and it's great. We got it. You know what I mean? And there's I say, like the teasing we do, you know? I mean, most people take that serious, you know? Shit, we don't care. You know, it's not that serious to us, you know? It's just a joke, you know? And there's laughter there, you know? And people got... But nowadays, it's these young kids, they get butthurt too easy, you know? And then all these grown-ups, their mothers and stuff start getting involved. That's what I say. They take protecting their kids to a whole new level. And then when a kid does something wrong, and then the mother and father, oh, he's a perfect kid, all this other stuff, see? That shouldn't be like that, but it is. Long time ago, when kids played together, boys played over here, girls played over, there was a lot of learning, see? Nowadays, it's not like that, you know? It's totally, like I was saying, when we was growing up, we played with boys, you know what I mean? We played with our countries. We played with, you know, all our relations, you know? And that's how we grew up. Nowadays, you know, what happened to that country, see? It's not there anymore.
Yeah. No, nowadays, I remember we used to have... We used to have fun.
You see a group of guys sitting there, and some of these girls that are possessive are right there with their men, and you can't really joke or, you know, talk like men anymore, you know? Because the guys are going to get mad at them.
Remember, Larry, we used to ride a car hood down Rosebud Hill.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan Carwood. Slide down Rosebud Hill, all happy, full of glee, you know.
You know, hey,
just full of glee, you know.
Now, even
you
the
know,
car hoods today ain't car hoods anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't make good sleds like the, on these cars like they used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like an old 19
toboggans, man.
Yeah, like a Studebaker hood, that would really fly,
yeah,
you know.
Chevy, too. Chevy, too. Yeah, those. How many hoods, you know, like
they were round. The hoods were round, yeah. You know.
Yeah, they had that point. They had that point in the front, so you could, you know, hit the snow good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now
they were shaped like something to ride.
they were toboggans, Indian toboggans. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
well, we used
awesome,
to ride
you know?
Them down. We used to ride them down even in the grass when there wasn't snow.
Yeah,
and flying
yeah.
down the hill, you know.
Heck yeah, heck
but,
yeah. These were the good
but,
old days,
you know.
Man.
Then we went to the city and we started seeing these Washichu having all this fancy stuff, you know. And we're yeah. saying, "Damn, man, you know, can't even afford nothing." So we have a skateboard
yeah.
that's made of a 2x4, 2x4
yeah.
skateboard, you know, with those,
you know,
metal
tin
wheels,
you
know.
Yeah, tin wheels. Yeah.
Really, really sparking while we're shooting down 4th Street.
Yeah, no shit. You know, that's true. Have a 2x6 with... two roller skates underneath going on the hill, man, you know.
Right in the city.
Yeah.
Right in the city, you know. Sparking, you know. But
yeah.
But happier. But happier than how. Like I said, it's full of glee, you know. And wow. We must be all full of glee because look at, we're already run out of time. And so, and Philip never said nothing the whole night. Philip, what are you doing?
Is he even on?
Yeah, he's on. I don't know. He ain't snoring, so he can't be asleep. Or he's got it on mute. You know, usually when he don't have it on mute, you can hear him snoring, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, Layla, you got anything to say before we go?
Yes, it's so fun to hang out with my brothers. I love you guys.
Yeah, we like it when you're laughing in the background, the cheering section.
Yeah,
you know?
We love that too.
You know that's right.
We love you too.
Yeah, that cheering section and
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
you know, and
it's always fun.
And it's always lots of fun. But Tanisha, you know, we're gonna have to roll out here. You and Larry got any last comments?
No, I just enjoy it every time, every week.
It's a good time.
Yeah, good to me and I to listen.
Yeah,
it's good to kind of talk and you know bring stuff out that. You know, I want people to think about things, you know.
Right.
That's the main, and make some heads and tails of it, you know.
I just remembered one more before we go real quick. I remember I was at Kyle and I seen all this Indians peeking into this window at Piawichoni. All these Indians
yeah.
were peeking in. What are you guys looking at? They say there's a big gay guy gonna talk, and here that was his name, Begay. Remember? Everybody said the big gay guy. You know, all these Indians were right. But go ahead, Tanisha.
Так и он как оглянул пират хунка с хункашна. Да он был с тем кичу, но так я лаваш дел пират хункашна. Я ми так и тук текстил у него, хунк на гоптана. Это лени йохи лат хункашла вичозами. И вот он тя так и от хункашла вапи чашана. akotu chasag leoncha tukasla inko yohila usu kilon yota la kote atek usu kilon woke astest tukasla ho in chapro lechta atek yo usu la pot tukasla ho mitakias
oh what's that
oh waste hold on
train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. The never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.